Hi, this is Jay Evans from the USDA ARSB Research Laboratory in Beltsville, Maryland, and I would like to read an essay I wrote for Bee Culture magazine titled Found in Translation: A Sense of Place for Honey Production. Much has been made of the effects of drought, crowding, and other temporary disturbances on the yields gathered from honeybee colonies, but a recent study suggests that two-thirds of what determines honey yields relates to the home address of apiaries. The USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service has been asking beekeepers for honey yields for a very long time, using the information to get a sense of beekeeping economics and U.S. capacity. These reports are all stacked at the www.nass.usda.gov site and just search for the honeybee survey. Additional national, and especially the U.S. Geological Survey, and state agencies are also keen on land use and climate patterns, since these too help make farming and other land uses more efficient and predictable. Finally, nonprofits, such as the beleaguered Bee Informed Partnership at www.beeinformed.org and Project APIS M at www.projectapism.org, along with university efforts including BeeScape. That's www.beescape.net, have been funding and exploring how habitats affect bee health and productivity. In a recent study, Gabriella Quinlan and colleagues from Pennsylvania State University mined data for honey yields provided by USDA NASS using a complex mathematical strategy. They broke historical data into two chunks, from 1974 to 1991 and 1992 to 2019. Near these breakpoints, per colony honey production in the US went from rising nearly 50% from the 1970s to the mid 90s to giving back those gains from then until the present time. This study does not explore the economic factors that causing that decadal hump, but instead looks within these different time stretches to see which factors stand the test of time. The goal is to see how beekeepers or land managers can adapt to long-term trends and maintain hive production goals. It is also fun to see exactly where one state lies on the spectrum of expected per hive yields, and perhaps see how state-level good and bad years match one's own experiences. While the authors do point out naturally good regions to make honey, a few caveats suggest this study should not be your primary resource as you plan a retirement spot to finally start that sideline honey business. First, the data are collected at the level of states, so they do not account for highly variable land use or climate differences within some states. Practically, this is how USDA collects such data. While commercial beekeepers and most of our bees migrate across state boundaries on an annual pollination cycle, sites of honey production are generally tied to where that nectar is collected by bees and processed by them into honey. That's because of the heavy weight of nectar and honey. This results in saving costs for shipping extra weight around. Since state boundaries have not changed, they provide a nice constant yardstick over the decades. Second, comparing every single event or geographical difference that might impact honey yields would result in strung-out models. So the scientists heading this study did not measure all possible changes during and across such a long stretch. But the authors did analyze high-quality data for both abiotic, that's climate and weather, soil traits, and the use of the herbicide glyphosate, and biotic, including soybean plantings and the enrollment of acreage in the Conservation Reserve Program, or CRP, factors that impact bees. So, what is the punchline? Yes, climatic regions with steady honey collection on the whole remain good spots some decades later. This does not mean that each state or even the top 10 were always ranked the same, just that two-thirds of the forces that predict colony honey yields can be ascribed to states and their associated climates. Of secondary importance is soil type. And in this case, this refers to soil productivity, which is a trait that accounts for nutrient availability, acidity, and how far roots can reach into soils. Soil quality combined with climate explained over 90% of the variation in honey production in the first time frame of the study, and over 80% in the second. The difference reflecting more land use changes as well as the addition of glyphosate as the measured trait. In terms of land management, increasing soybean acreage and decreased CRP usage had slightly negative and positive effects on per colony yields. A trend that has been explored elsewhere in experiments done with a finer grain. There are also hints that ongoing climate change will change areas of highest honey production, but overall, the study suggests that broad areas with climates that have been conducive to beekeeping for decades continue to show this, while less productive areas, as in states, are simply not getting much better. And it often helps to compare honey yield and its drivers in independent regions. Scientists in Mexico have just conducted a similar study based on hive data collected there from 1980 to 2012. Francisco Balvino Alvera and colleagues compared land use, climate, and economic data to explore how these factors have impacted beekeeping over several decades. And this is a paper in the journal Scientific Reports from 2023. If you search Balvino-Olvera, the first author, you will find that paper. Colony numbers decreased in Mexico during the measured time period, arguably driven by the increased presence of Africanized bees, changes in land use, and socioeconomic factors. Still, honey yields per colony increased. The Mexican study, as in the U.S., suggests that the terroir, that is, the form of soils and consequent plant health, was a large driver of honey production. Both studies also suggest that year-to-year weather changes, too hot or too cold, too dry or too wet, were large enough to shift regional honey strengths. North and central Mexico, historically more productive areas, showed reductions in both hives and honey yields that the authors suggest reflect long-term drought conditions. These weather patterns, in turn, might have impacted both land cover and changes in the intensity of bee management. Perhaps, as expected, regions with higher poverty did not see the increases in honey yields seen elsewhere, and the authors suggest this lag is a result of limited resources to manage bees more aggressively. Broad trends will not necessarily impact your bees as they prepare for this spring's bounty, but seeing how millions of hives have fared over the years can point to the strategies under your control for improving the terroir within a couple miles of your bee yards. If you are stationary, this means either being lucky enough to have sites near long-term forage or being proactive in improving what grows near you. You can, of course, also manage colony sizes and health so your foragers can exploit these riches when they flower. Migratory beekeepers can and will continue on previous paths to states with high summer nectar flows while also working to promote and protect large-scale floral resources. And all of us will have to be conscious of climate anomalies and changes that can squeeze honey from our beehives. Thank you for listening.